Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, with Cover Your Assets. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, and sports. Lots of years' experience Jim can bring to those subjects and more, and we love to welcome him in on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. Plus, I've brought you this great, great weather.
Well, you know, it's been the weekend started off with Saquon Barkley going down with a torn ACL, so he's gone for the year. And 12 and a half minutes into the season, or the season is gone for the New York Football Giants. The Jets are trying to match the ineptitude of the Giants. The Islanders are out of the playoffs now. The Yankees are going to be in. The Mets won't make it. It doesn't look like. But even the Yankees haven't played well the past. I turned to my TV to get some better news, and the most devastating news of all, of course, came through this weekend with the death of Justice Ginsburg. And so we look at I try to look at each day now with a piece of good news to start off each and every day, because for me, and I think for most people, it was a rough weekend when you lose a Supreme Court member. Who really did affect a lot of people, a lot of different reasons why she did. But RBG certainly has provided this country and women in this country with a feeling of empowerment in life and now in her death.
Well, for me, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the epitome of what has made America great. And she has not only been a product of that, but she's been a creator of that. Her incredible fortitude and tenacity, fighting not only for women, but for all those who needed support, was utterly incredible, and incredible to believe. In a way, we became kind of used to her and not realizing how wonderful the work she was doing over the many, many years. And now that she's passed, it really comes up and hits you in the face as to how important she has been to this country, to women and men, and democracy at all. It's very, very sad that she's leaving us, going on to a reward that she's more than well deserved. I know the bells are ringing for her up there. The thing of it is this, in her passing, we've been given a huge challenge in terms of the great freedom that she helped create. And that challenge is somehow voting for what Ruth Bader Ginsburg always thought was the correct thing, which was fairness among all peoples. And we've got to look to this election and be inspired by her life to vote for democracy. Now, in terms of the fight in the Senate over them trying to pass a new person into the Supreme Court, President Trump and the Republicans are managing, and they exceed their evil by disrespecting Ruth Bader Ginsburg and trying to force in a new person in a very awkward and unfair way. The tribute to this woman could come from Trump and the Republicans by simply saying, "Fine, Ruth is gone. We greatly appreciate what she's done. Let's give everybody space and time to appreciate what she's done as an individual for this country. And let's give it time to be honest with one another." And if we denied Obama a nod for a Supreme Court justice when there was 10 months left in Obama's term, we certainly must put the possible recommendation of a new Supreme Court justice into January, because right now we're about 40 days from the election. In Obama's case, we were roughly 300 days, yet the Republicans, courtesy of Mitch McConnell, said, oh, well, we can't do that. You know, it's in the last year of a president, and there's an election coming up. Well, it's the same story, only it's a shorter amount of days, 40 versus 300, according to my incredible grasp of math, is quite different. So I would hope to God that, you know, we show some decency in Washington and step up to the plate. Forget whether the Republicans get their pick or not. If they win the election, which Trump says he's going to do, then he can make his selection on January 21st or 2nd. He doesn't have to do it now. And, you know, let's treat our great heroes with respect. I remember when John Kennedy and Martin Luther King went down. This country came to a standstill with respect for those people, for what they represented, for them taking the American dream and creating more of it. I only hope to God that there is certain amount of civility and respect left in the Republican Party, that they do the same.
Well, you know,
my God, well, what are we talking, a few months before they get their pick? Well, that said, we have to continue here. And I would say, inspired by Ruth, we must get stronger. We must speak out louder. We must go to rallies. We must vote. We must talk to neighbors. We must have little coffee clutches. We must succeed here, because our democracy is at stake. The freedom of our people and of our children is at stake. If we give in, we being those who vote for Trump, they are basically creating a scenario of continued dictatorship by Trump and his enablers and cronies. The Republicans and Trump's people, his pals, have made billions of dollars out of the federal government. This must stop on that alone. But if you look at your benefits from previous administration, you have the health care, you have Social Security. Both of those are questionable in a Republican, in a new Republican administration. Read the paper. Read what these people have said. Read how they have taken away monies to help create a better environment and save the environment. Understand that the corporate power that the Republican Party wields through bribery and exchange for things basically is undermining the life of this country and planet physically. Now, anybody who doesn't want to wake up to that, I just have one thing to say to you. If you vote for Trump, you are voting for all that is evil. You are voting for corporations over individuals. You are voting for no health care and support for people in need, which make up 70% of the 330 million people in this country. Be it on your hands if you vote for Trump and he continues his bloodshed with the pandemic and his lack of dealing with it, with his dealing with our allies, who now cannot really work with us anymore. Please, this is very serious. Wake up. Hit yourself with a bat in the knees, but wake up.
Now, I want to comment on a bunch of what you said. First of all, the politicization of naming of Supreme Court justices has always been there. Parties have always, when they're in power and they get to appoint a justice, the theory is they want to appoint a justice that somehow conforms to what their platform is, whether it's a Democratic platform or Republican platform. That has been accepted over the past 25, 30, 40 years. what began during actually the Clinton administration was the out and outright total separation of our parties and the people who follow the parties. You look at the Supreme Court, and anybody that thinks that this appointment is not going to happen before the election, there's only one thing that can really stop it. And I don't blame the Republicans. I think that the president should name a replacement. I don't think that they should vote on that replacement until after the election. It's still going to, turn a court very conservative. But here's one thing people forget, Jim, and I'll point this out. When the Republicans denied Barack Obama almost a year out from the election the ability to appoint a Supreme Court judge, and just remember, he announced his appointment. They didn't even hold hearings on it. They just didn't do it. What they theoretically did for a year is reduce the size of the Supreme Court. They reduced the Supreme Court from 9 justices to 8. In theory, what they did was reduce the size of the Supreme Court. So what people have to realize, and I say this because President Obama said it on election, elections have consequences. If the Democrats really are upset about this, then there's two alternatives they have. One alternative is to win the damn election of Joseph Biden and to take over the Senate. Pour money into those campaigns and take over the Senate. And then when they get in power, unfortunately, what's going to happen, and I say unfortunately because in the long run, it's going to create more chaos. But in the short run, what they can do if they take over the Senate and they take over the presidency, the Congress can meet and they can expand the Supreme Court by 2 or 3 judges and then appoint judges that are more balanced towards what they believe in. That is something that can happen, but the Democrats have to win both the presidency and the Senate. Another thing they can do if they're so outraged is the following. The Congress can vote to begin an impeachment process against Bill Barr. Now, if they do that, the Senate has one obligation. Once that is presented to the Senate has to go into that trial. And there won't be time to do that trial and actually seat a Supreme Court justice. Either way, if the Democrats were to do that, and then if the Democrats were to actually end the debate rule and give a simple majority to the Senate votes, those two things they can rectify. But what you have to remember in the back of your mind, if the Democrats go down that road, and I happen to think that the boat has sailed, and if you start to impeach Bill Barr now, it's not going to sit well with the public before the election. I think the Democrats have to focus on winning the presidency and on flipping some Senate seats, and then take the extreme measure of taking away the filibuster and just voting a straight majority will pass bills. Now, that will come back to bite them in the future. But those are the only two options that are out there. And what this just signifies is like I said, it used to be that Democratic administrations would put in, when the opportunity came, they would nominate and try to get a justice in that more or less fits in with their platform. That's politics. It's always been there. Unfortunately, what's happened now is that it's become so intense and the parties lie so much to one another that it's worthless. And you can look back at the Republicans that all stated that if this happened to them, they would not do this. And now almost every one will do it. There's two Republican senators, both women, that appear to be against it. Mitt Romney appears to be against it, but we'll see. The Democrats have one other option, and that is a special election in Arizona. The minute that person wins that election, they join the Senate. So you would still have, even if Romney didn't go along, you would have three votes that would be against it, which I'm not sure whether it's enough or not. But really, when you boil it right down, Jim, there's only a matter of two or three things that can be done, and each one of them is going to have long-term implications on this country, and it's not going to make the politicization of political appointees any less. But the main thing the Democrats, if they really, really, really want to do, is focus on winning the damn election and winning the Senate over, because that's the only way that they can really correct what is going on. And like I said, maybe if that happens and then the Democrats push the nuclear option after Biden is nominated and get rid of the filibuster rule, that's going to be a major thing. But that's what they have to do, and there's not many other ways out of it, because you're not going to find much sympathy in any Republican because they put up with President Trump for the exact reason what's happening now.
So they
knew that President Trump would appoint really conservative judges, and so everything gets thrown aside with that. Go on now, Jill.
No, this is a technical. If you were a really well-paid political consultant, because this is the bit that I've been trying to figure out, what would you, who does this? Let's say you're holding on to a shaky seat. I'm just trying to figure out who does this benefit? Does it benefit more Republicans, or does it benefit more
Democrats?
Or is it a push?
The Republican, there's a few, like the one down south where the Democrats, and they'll probably lose that seat. But there are five other seats Republicans are probably going to lose. And if some sort of real miracle happens, six. Political consultants aside, the Republicans are at far greater risk in the Senate than the Democrats are. But what the Democrats have to do is buckle down, take Michael Bloomberg's $100 million, put it into Florida. They'll probably go back and beg to Bloomberg for another $100 million to put into some other Senate races and just try to win those and then deal with everything after the new president gets seated. I don't know what you feel about those comments, Jim, but really, there's not much else that's out there, really.
I generally agree with your comments. I agree with the strategy on Barr being a plus on the one hand and, more difficulty. That said, we're continuing on to a new topic, a new approach to the same topic. I do not believe that I am feeling in my gut that the Democrats are fighting hard enough, and that starts with Joe Biden. He's a wonderful speaker. He's a diplomat. He's a great guy. He's called this and that and the other thing. However, we have in our arsenal facts. 40 people, 40 women have been assaulted by Trump. One 13-year-old girl allegedly has been raped by Trump with Epstein's help. A very notable person who was actually a friend of Trump was raped in a department store. I want to do a la Bill Clinton. I want to see the Democrats talking about these people every day. It's denigration of women, of society, of civility. I want to point it out that $389 million was made by Jared Kushner and his wife during their time in the White House. I want to point out all of the Republicans who have either had to go out, have been jailed. I want all of that dirt out every frickin' day. And I want to bury it. I want to bury Trump and the Republican Party with it. And I think we have the ammunition. I don't know who's up to it in the party. Bernie certainly would have. Well, maybe it's time to get Bernie out on the tour, on the circuit talking about this. And lastly, that Trump has the audacity, the cojones, to turn around and put race into this issue when he warns his people, oh, be careful, Kamala Harris might be the president. Yeah, one, she's black, and two, she's a woman. His two favorite targets, okay? So for me, wherever I can, I fight. I don't give a crap about the long term anymore. Trump has made it a short-term fight. We've got to win it.
Now, we have to wrap things up now because we're out of time. But I absolutely agree with you on a political basis. The Democrats have got to fight as strong and hard as the Republicans fight against the Democrats. It has to happen. And if you're a Democrat out there, you just have to totally get involved. You can't walk away from this fight. You have to join the fight, whatever way you can join the fight. And unfortunately, we will be set in this type of tenure for quite a long time until finally social media will have worn off over the course of 10 or 20 years, the influence that it has. But you're right. What has to happen here is no matter who it is, if you're a Democrat or if you're an independent and you don't like what's happening, you have to do more than just vote. You have to get out and fight. So that's a good way to wrap up the show for today. And hopefully we'll have sunny, warm weather tomorrow and the next week afterwards, Jim.
I promise. I promise. But you have to vote. Have to vote and you get good weather.
That's it.
I love you all. Take care, Jim. America.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right. And Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. And the opinions expressed on this show are not those of any of the underwriters, the volunteers, the donors. The opinions you hear are those of myself, Jill Goodman, and Jim Lynch. All right? All right.